Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show across the state of Georgia. The phone number, if you would like to be a part of the program, 877-97-ERIC, E-R-I-C-K, which means 877-973-7425. If you would like to be a part of the program, we will take your phone calls. We have new news, actually, new news that has come out in the last 10 minutes or so. Ken Vogel from the New York Times noting that the president of Ukraine had no knowledge that aid to Ukraine was being held up when the president spoke to him at the end of July. He had no knowledge. The president said nothing of it in the phone call. And according to Ken Vogel at the New York Times, within the last 10 minutes, the president of Ukraine had no knowledge the aid was held up. The president of Ukraine didn't know the aid was held up until the end of August, and then the aid was released on September 11th. Hard to have a quo when there's no quid. When there's no knowledge of the quid to have the quo. This should change things. Of course, it won't for the Democrats. The Democrats have been out to get the president since day one, but it should. If the other party had no knowledge that they would get some benefit for doing what the president requested, it's not a quid pro quo. It's definitionally not if they have no knowledge of what's going to happen. So that should change things. Now, again, it won't actually change things because the Democrats have been out to get the president. And I need to do a starting point there. And the starting point is, well, let's go with the whistleblower as the starting point. The whistleblower is apparently a CIA operative who worked in the White House for a while. And then afterwards went back to the CIA. I don't know that it is a wise thing to have the agency that found the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq be the agency that found the case for impeachment. What I do think is that the president has, since prior to becoming president, viewed himself as at war with an intelligence community out to get him. And let's be clear here. We see fancy TV shows that paint the CIA as competent, capable spies who go around the world doing things. And there are covert operatives within the CIA who do amazing work around the world. But by and large, the agency is another government bureaucracy filled with academic liberals who don't like the president's worldview. They don't like the president. The president doesn't like them. The president has long viewed that they were out to get him, and to some degree, I think some of them would love to get the president. I mean, the reality is, let's see, we had Reality Winner, who leaked information that was designed to harm the president. We had the leak of the transcript of the Australian Prime Minister's phone call. We've had a number of leaks to media agencies clearly coming from within the intelligence community. We had the internal deliberations within the FBI that showed a clear contempt among some of the agents for the president. And the president is convinced these people are out to get him. So now here comes a CIA agent who is out to get the president. And, you know, I'll get to my own conspiracy theory here in a moment. But there is no doubt now that the person out to get the president, the whistleblower, was a CIA operative who is now, or a CIA bureaucrat, I should say, who is now back at the CIA. All this is going to do is reinforce the president's distrust of the agency. And we're essentially back in a pre-9/11 state of affairs in this country. If you'll recall from before 9/11, from the 9/11 Commission, one of the things that happened is the agencies didn't talk to each other. the CIA, the NSA, the DIA, the FBI, none of them really talked to each other. None of them gathered intelligence together and worked in concert. And one of the things that Congress decided to do, in addition to creating the Department of Homeland Security, is they would create a Director of National Intelligence who would kind of oversee all the different shops together. Everybody could flow information to a central repository who could then share it out. But that entire structure is dependent on a president that trusts his intelligence community. And we have a president right now who has never really trusted the intelligence community, but did give them latitude. But is he really going to do that now that he thinks they're out to get him? I mean, I think that's relevant. I think that's a concern. If the president of the United States cannot trust his intelligence community to not be out to get him, we have a real communications breakdown situation and a real trust situation. Where is the president going to get his intelligence briefings from? And if he gets them from the CIA, why is he going to take them seriously? We already have the president. Let's be honest here. The president has a level of paranoia about the people around him. I don't necessarily blame him. Sometimes they really are out to get him. And in a lot of cases, these people are out to get him. But there is a level of unhealthiness to it as well. The president thinks a lot of people are out to get him. You know, if I were a Republican right now, one of the things that would keep me up at night, just as a side tangent here, is that the many of the Republicans in Congress don't like the president. I'm not talking out of turn here. I mean, for God's sakes, I went through a grocery store with one of them who was on TV saying nice things about the president and behind the scenes hates his guts. You've got Republicans in Congress, many of whom are leaving. You're having a great exodus of Republicans in Congress. You know, Obamacare passed when Barack Obama was president because you had a lot of Democrats who were not running for re-election who could finally do what they wanted to do without having to worry about getting re-elected. Every bad thing that comes out of Congress tends to rely on congressmen who are not seeking re-election. You got a bunch of Republicans leaving. How many Republicans leaving? 20, 30 Republicans leaving? They don't like the president. Most of them blame him for their forced departure. They don't want to be there. They don't think they can get reelected. And if I were the Republican president, I would be a little bit concerned that these people may decide to go along with the Democrats on impeachment, whether they think it's warranted or not. I mean, these are politicians. They are definitionally petty. And you couple that with a CIA operative who is out to get the president, I think we got issues. We got trust issues for the president. It is a dangerous place for the country to be when the president doesn't trust the intelligence community. Doug Collins and I talked about that a little bit yesterday, the congressman from here in Georgia. And I think it's something to be concerned. We know that Ukraine did not know about the aid. When the president of Ukraine, and I'm working really hard to say president of Ukraine instead of president of the Ukraine. When president of Ukraine, which just doesn't sound right to me, when president of Ukraine talked to president of United States, wait, it is president of the United States. President of Ukraine had no knowledge that the president of the United States had withheld funds. So everyone's saying there's a quid pro quo. I'm not sure how there can be when the one party had no knowledge of the quid for the quo. That's where we are. Now, was there coordination? See, this is my conspiracy theory. Now, I got a lot of friends who are peddling a conspiracy theory that somehow the CIA operative did this to protect Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden. And any day now, Andrew McCabe's indictment is coming and a FISA warrant is going to be released. And we're going to find out all sorts of stuff. And they've been saying this for a while. I don't believe that this is somehow to protect Hillary Clinton. I'm more prone to believe that this is to distract us from Jeffrey Epstein than it is to distract us from Hillary Clinton. And I don't believe it's to anything related to Epstein either. I'm waiting for someone to credibly come forward and actually believe that. Oh, they're doing impeachment to distract people from the Jeffrey Epstein investigation. Someone out there actually believes this, and they just don't have a megaphone to actually say it. But I'm sure there's someone out there who really credibly believes this. I don't believe that. I don't believe that this is to protect Hillary Clinton. I don't believe the Joe Biden stuff. And frankly, I'm disappointed in a lot of people who seem to think that there is some sort of elaborate conspiracy to protect Joe Biden in all of this. There really are people who are out there who say this, that somehow or another, Joe Biden really did have the power to fire this Ukrainian prosecutor, that the power dwelled within Joe Biden as opposed to Barack Obama's power being given to Joe Biden. And I guess I need to address this for a moment. Joe Biden had no power to fire Ukraine's prosecutor. Joe Biden had no power to get on a plane to fly to Ukraine to fire the prosecutor. Joe Biden had no power to threaten to withhold money by getting on a plane to go to Ukraine to sit with the president of Ukraine and make the threat. He had no power. He was the vice president of the United States, an office once referred to by one of the former vice presidents as being nothing more than a warm bucket of spit. Biden had no power. The power came from Barack Obama. And Barack Obama, one of the prosecutors, fired. Now, I guess we could spin an elaborate conspiracy that Barack Obama somehow wanted to protect Hunter Biden. I'm willing to go there if you want to go there. Barack Obama wanted to protect Hunter Biden. Therefore, he sent Joe Biden to do the protection. But then I guess Angela Merkel also wanted to protect Hunter Biden because she wanted the prosecutor fired. I guess David Cameron, he wanted the prosecutor fired, so David Cameron must have wanted to protect Hunter Biden. Not Trudeau, whoever the prior prime minister was in Canada. I guess he wanted the guy protected. Did all of these different people want the guy protected? Because they all wanted the prosecutor fired. So I guess they all wanted Hunter Biden protected. Now, Barack Obama was the one who decided he was going to fire the guy on behalf of the Western allies, because the Western allies were going to give $1 billion in aid to Ukraine to help them combat the Russians. And they didn't want this prosecutor screwing things up, because there had been several cases of Ukrainian oligarchs taking foreign dollars and stealing it for their own personal gain. So Obama sent Biden, and Biden told the Ukrainians if they did not fire this guy, they weren't getting that $1 billion. And Biden bragged about it. Sure, he bragged about it on tape. We've got the audio of Joe Biden bragging about firing the guy. Joe Biden made a big deal about it. This is one of his "I fight corruption, I can fight Donald Trump" sort of things.
That is, I'm desperately concerned about the backsliding on the part of Kyiv in terms of corruption. I'll give you one concrete example. That was the assignment I got. I got all the good ones. So I got Ukraine. I remember going over convincing our team, or others too, convincing that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to the press conference. We're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, I said, "Call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion.
Yep. I mean, that's the thing. Now, Biden, of course, is taking credit for it, but this was in the works. Had Joe Biden not been the one to do it, someone else would have done it. I mean, the president could have sent John Kerry, but he wanted to send Joe Biden. He sent Joe Biden to do these sorts of things. Now, this is also why Joe Biden can't be the presidential nominee for the Democrats, because Joe Biden's son has a history of going and getting business from places where Biden went for President Obama. So the Democrats, to be able to combat Trump and not muddy the water, they're going to have to get rid of Biden. But Biden didn't have the authority to withhold this money, this loan guarantee. It was Obama who did, and it was Obama who sent Biden. Now, Biden's puffing himself up in his rhetoric. It's what every politician does, tries to claim credit for the bridge that got built when it was some bureaucrat somewhere who decided we needed a bridge, but the politician's going to take credit for it. Joe Biden's going to take credit for firing this guy because he went over and he's the one who said you can't get the money till you fire the guy, but he was doing it on behalf of Barack Obama, but let him puff up his resume. It's getting him into trouble. The right is able to spin a conspiracy theory here, but all Biden did was what Barack Obama wanted him to do. There's no conspiracy theory here that Biden went over to protect his son. Now, you certainly had a Ukrainian prosecutor who tried to get into Trump's good graces to protect his job, who spun an elaborate conspiracy theory about Joe Biden doing all this stuff. You absolutely did. But people can say anything. Joe Biden here is saying something not necessarily true. Neither did that prosecutor. I mean, the facts bear it out. Obama wanted the guy gone. Biden went over and delivered the message. They fired the guy because Barack Obama wanted it, not Joe Biden. There's no more truth to the fact that Joe Biden was doing this as a way to protect Hunter Biden than there is that Donald Trump was engaged in a quid pro quo. They're both not true. But Biden can't be the nominee because of it now, because it allows the Republicans to muddy the water. But that gets back into maybe there is something going on here. When did Adam Schiff see the whistleblower complaint? Do you know the rules on how to file whistleblower complaints were changed in just the last month or so? Making it seem like maybe someone somewhere knew something and wanted something done. And this is the people on the right pointing this out. The whistleblowers being represented coincidentally by someone who's a Democratic partisan. He's being funded by other Democratic partisans for his legal fees. There are all sorts of ways to play this. All sorts of ways to play this. But I think there's one way you can't play this. You can't play this as Joe Biden doing something he shouldn't have done when it was Barack Obama who wanted it done. But I also don't think you can play it as a quid pro quo. And I realize the left wants to do that. And I realize we got this whistleblower who wants to. I got a theory on the whistleblower I want to run past you, though. It's my own personal conspiracy theory I'll share with you when we come back.
Eric Erickson gives you the information you need and the truth you demand.
All right. I want to give you my own conspiracy theory. Actually, before I give you my conspiracy theory, let me just tell you the truth. The Democrats have been out to get Donald Trump since before he got elected. They don't need an elaborate conspiracy theory. They don't need a protection scheme for Hillary Clinton. They don't need to protect Joe Biden for protecting his son. They don't need any of that. They don't need a distraction from Christopher Steele or FISA or anything else. They don't need an elaborate conspiracy theory. Democrats have been wanting to impeach Donald Trump forever. And they were throwing stuff on the wall to see what stuck. And they think they have something that stuck. And so, of course, they're going to try to get him. They are privately somewhat hesitant that they can win in the Electoral College next year. Let me give you a quick data point right now. A Gallup job approval for each president at this moment, on this day. Jimmy Carter, 30%. Ronald Reagan, 47%. George H.W. Bush, 68%. Clinton, 44%. George W. Bush, 50%. Barack Obama, 40%. Donald Trump, 43%. So on this day, prior to re-election, Trump's at 43, Obama was at 40, Clinton was at 44. All clustered in there together. Heck, Reagan, for that matter, was at 47. So Donald Trump polls higher, according to Gallup, than Barack Obama did headed into re-election. So on the grand scheme of things, I mean, Democrats, they want to rough up Trump headed into the election. And, you know, privately, the Democrats don't actually think they have the votes in the Senate to impeach Donald Trump. Maybe they will, but they don't right now. They know they don't right now. But they want to get Donald Trump. No elaborate conspiracy needed. They just want to end the presidency of Donald Trump. And if it requires going through an impeachment process, they think roughs him up, then yeah. And, you know, you can't say, I think Sean Tritty from Real Clear Politics pointed this out earlier. You've only got two impeachments on which there's data. The Johnson one really doesn't count. Andrew Johnson from the 1800s. You got the Nixon impeachment process that actually he resigned, so it didn't move forward. And you got the Clinton one where he was found not guilty by the Senate. You can't really say we have enough data to say, oh, yes, the president's going to be helped by impeachment because of Bill Clinton. Well, what about Richard Nixon? There's just not enough data. But the Democrats will take their chances. The Democrats see the polling, the Quinnipiac polling, 55% of independent voters say they will never, ever, ever vote for Donald Trump. 55%. I mean, if the Republicans really ponder this polling, they should be hoping for a successful impeachment and maybe they'll take their chances with Mike Pence. But they're standing behind their man right now. The Democrats also privately, they know they don't have the votes in the Senate right now, but they also privately know a lot of these Republicans don't like the president. I mean, behind the scenes, these people talk to each other. And behind the scenes, the Republicans, they don't care for the president. So the Democrats do not need an elaborate conspiracy theory to try to beat the president. They just need hate. And they've hated this president forever. Remember in 2018, Republicans said, if the Democrats take back the House, they're going to impeach. And all these Democrats and members of the media said, oh, no, no, we would never do that. Never. We'd never impeach Donald Trump. We're going to beat him at the ballot box. No, they've wanted to impeach him for a while. And Rashida Tlaib came out quickly, remember, and let's impeach the and Democrats were horrified that she said publicly what they'd been saying privately. They've been wanting to impeach this guy for a while. They don't need an elaborate CIA conspiracy or a Clinton conspiracy or a Biden conspiracy or protection and distraction from anything. This is what they want to do. But I will give you my conspiracy theory on what's going on behind the scenes when we come back. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show. If you would like to call in and be a part of the program, 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425, because you remember it's E-R-I-C-K. Now, you're not going to want to miss the Washington Examiner Political Summit from October 24th to 27th at Sea Island Resort. For those of you here in Georgia, it is right here. You just drive down the coast. It's your chance to meet Sarah Huckabee Sanders, hear from General John Kelly about the White House and President Trump's plan for 2020. You'll see Senators Marsha Blackburn and Rick Scott, Governor Scott Walker, Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Congressman Devin Nunes, and Judge Ken Starr. Here's what you do. Go to summit.washingtonexaminer.com today. Use the code RADIO15 to get a 15% discount. That's summit.washingtonexaminer.com. The promo code is RADIO15. It is one word, RADIO15. Go there now, summit.washingtonexaminer.com. And again, it's at Sea Island. It's here in Georgia. It is October 24th to 27th. No reason not to attend. Just, yeah, I mean, it's down the coast. Just you want to go take a beach vacation anyway in October. So go to Sea Island and hang out with some great folks. Summit.washingtonexaminer.com. Okay, I'll give you my conspiracy theory. I think there were people who absolutely in the intelligence community want to get rid of Donald Trump. And I think that they've always thought he was a malevolent, would-be third world kleptocrat. They've always tried to find a way to leak stories. Remember, you had the leak of the transcript with Malcolm Turnbull, the Australian prime minister. You had the leak of the transcript with the Mexican president. You had national security documents leaked regarding the Russia investigation. You had the FBI agents. They've never liked Donald Trump. So you have this guy from the CIA who's put in the White House who hates him. And maybe he's got a legal background. He probably has a legal background, but that whistleblower complaint, it strikes me as there were people working together to build that whistleblower complaint. It was not a solo guy. It was a group of people. He was the designated person to put his name on it. They put it together. They tipped off Schumer. They tipped off Adam Schiff. They made sure the rules were changed on whistleblower. It is actually very coincidental that the rules for whistleblowing was actually changed. In fact, a buddy of mine who was in the intelligence community does note this. Where is his email? I had an email for him. It doesn't matter. He kind of lays out how the rules were changed within the last month on what could and could not be included in a whistleblower complaint. Coincidental, perhaps, but he's the one who actually lured me in on this. That did Schiff know something? Because who leaked the whistleblower complaint? Someone had to have leaked the whistleblower complaint. The Director of National Intelligence and the Inspector General, they don't think it was the whistleblower. Someone had to leak it. So was this a coordinated effort to undermine the president? Did they put things in place to be able to do this? Now, here's the thing. Let's say they did. Let's say this is a real, you don't need a conspiracy theory for this. The Democrats were out to get the president anyway. But let's say that you had CIA operatives and others, people in the White House, bureaucrats, deep state, and they wanted to get the president. Well, the president played into their hands, did he not? I mean, the odds are that the president, that his staff, some of them were concerned by the president raising Joe Biden on this call. I mean, the odds are some of them were. But I also think we probably have a situation here where you had a bunch of CIA people. I shouldn't say a bunch. You had a few. You had people inside the White House who were careerists, who hated the president. They heard this like, oh, we got him now. We got him now. Let's go. Tip off the Democrats. Let's go. But now we know this morning that Ukraine had no knowledge the money had been withheld. It's really hard to have a quid pro quo when there's no quid for the quo, when you don't actually know that there's a holdup of money. And you see, part of the problem we have here as well is that when you look at the voices in the media who think, yeah, the president's guilty, he did it. Well, they're the people who they've wanted to get rid of the president all the time. And this is just, in their mind, more confirmation that the president is right, or that they're right about the president. Few minds are being changed about this. Now, we should go into the director of national intelligence who testified before Congress as well, who is, you know, he's not a partisan. He's not a partisan. And yet they're treating him as a partisan because he is the director of national intelligence for Donald Trump. He's the acting director of national intelligence. He's the guy because the old guy left. The political appointee left. So now here comes this admiral who's got to serve in the position. He doesn't necessarily want to be there. And now the Democrats are treating him like dirt because he's Donald Trump's director of national intelligence.
Sir, I'm asking a very simple question. Who made the decision to defy the congressional subpoena? Somebody said we will not abide by the subpoena, and I'd like to know who that somebody was.
Congressman, nobody did. I endeavored, once we no longer had urgent concern with the seven-day timeline, you know, to work to get the information to the committee. What I needed to do was to get work through the executive privilege hurdles with the Office of Legal Counsel at the White House. Although this was the most important issue to me, you know, the White House has got quite a few other issues that they were dealt with. You know, I would have liked to have had, as I said to the chairman, that perhaps this moved a little faster than it did, but this is a very deliberate process, and finally, you know, it came to a head yesterday. So, with, you know, when I received the information on the 26th of August, we had 7 days based on the Whistleblower Protection Act. All we did was lose those 7 days. It may have taken longer than we would have liked, or you would have liked, but you have the information.
Okay, so no one withheld it. They had to run the traps on it. That's all. But, of course, the Democrats think there's a conspiracy. The Democrats think there's a cover-up.
So what I'm trying to ascertain is, how would it run in all the mainstream media outlets? How did they get, even though they got a lot of it wrong, but they had the basics of it, that it involved the president of the United States talking to a foreign leader. So did anybody, you or anybody in your office, leak this to the Washington Post or NBC News?
Ranking member, I lead the intelligence community. We know how to keep a secret. As far as how that got into the press, I really do not know, sir. I just know that it's all over the place, and as you said, it's been reported by different media for the past several weeks. Where they get their information from, I don't know.
You know, he is in the intelligence community. Maybe he can find out. Of course, the Democrats wouldn't like that. It is very curious, this leak of the whistleblower complaint. How did it get into the press? How did the Democrats get a heads up on it? And that's what Devin Nunes there in that exchange is trying to get to. Now, what about the urgent concern issue? Let's listen to this exchange between Adam Schiff and Admiral McGuire.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it's appropriate that you go to a department run by someone who's the subject of the complaint to get advice, or who is a subject of the complaint or implicated in the complaint, for advice as to whether you should provide that complaint to Congress? Did that conflict of interest concern you?
Mr. Chairman, when I saw this report and complaint, immediately I knew that this was a serious matter. It came to me, and I just thought it would be prudent well, to ensure.
I'm just asking if the conflict of interest concerned you.
Well, sir, I have to work with what I've got, and that is the Office of Legal Counsel within the executive branch.
You also had was a statute that says shall, and even then you said you had the discretion to provide it, but did not.
Because it did not meet the matter of urgent concern that took away the seven-day timeline, I have endeavored to work with the Office of Legal Counsel in order to get the material to you, which you have provided to you yesterday.
What Adam Schiff is doing here, this is very important. Adam Schiff is trying to suggest to the Director of National Intelligence that he defy his chain of command. Now, this is a guy with a military background who is trained to not defy his chain of command, who went through his chain of command. And Schiff says the statute says shall. But I forget who it was who pointed out yesterday that, you know, the contempt of Congress citation also says that the U.S. attorney shall prosecute anyone held in contempt of Congress. That hadn't been happening, has it? I mean, why was Eric Holder not prosecuted? The statute says shall. That's kind of a red herring there that Schiff is raising here. And what's really going on here is he wanted this guy to not comply with his chain of command. He didn't want him to refer something to the Office of Legal Counsel. It is essentially, you know, as much as the Republicans are grasping to develop a conspiracy about Joe Biden and the Ukrainians, the Democrats are trying to develop a conspiracy about the Office of Legal Counsel and the bureaucracy within the Justice Department. You know, as much as there are political appointees in the Justice Department, there are also careerists in the Justice Department as well. And in fact, given the high number of vacancies within the Justice Department that haven't been confirmed by the Senate, there are actually a lot of careerists who are running these operations. And yet the Democrats have a vested interest in undermining faith in those institutions, as much as Republicans have a vested interest in undermining faith in other institutions. Now, here's a longer exchange between McGuire and Schiff. This is about a three-minute long exchange, but you need to hear this. I'll talk over it as necessary so you understand what's going on here.
Would you agree that the whistleblower complaint alleges serious wrongdoing by the President of the United States?
The whistleblower complaint involved the allegation of that. It is not for me in the intelligence community to decide how the President conducts his foreign policy or his interaction with leaders of other countries, sir.
Well, I'm not asking you to opine on how the President conducts foreign policy. I'm asking you whether, as the statute requires, this complaint involved serious wrongdoing, in this case, by the President of the United States, an allegation of serious wrongdoing by the President of the United States. Is that not the subject of this complaint?
Yes, that is the subject of the allegation of the complaint. And two things, Mr. Chairman.
And let me ask you about that.
Notice how he can't let the Admiral make his point.
The Inspector General found that serious allegation of misconduct by the President credible.
What he's not getting at is that the statute that requires stuff to be forwarded to Congress urgently, if it's urgent, precludes the President as being someone that applies in that statute. The President is not under that statute. Concerns about the President are not under that statute.
Did you also find that credible?
I did not criticize the Inspector General's decision on whether or not it was credible. My question was whether or not it meets the urgent concern and the seven-day time frame that would follow once I was notified.
My question,
so
Director.
I have no question in his judgment that he considers it a serious matter.
Well,
an issue that I dealt
and,
with.
And you would concur, would you not, Director, that this complaint alleging serious wrongdoing by the President was credible?
It's not for me to judge, sir.
It is for you to judge, apparently. I mean, I agree it's not for you to judge. You shall provide it to Congress. But indeed, you did judge whether this complaint should be provided to Congress. Can we at least agree?
This is partisan grandstanding on Schiff's part again. The statute that says shall, one, it doesn't apply to the president, and two, it only applies to certain urgent matters. And the question is whether or not this was classified as an urgent matter, and Director of National Intelligence decided it wasn't.
That the Inspector General made a sound conclusion that this whistleblower complaint was credible?
That is correct. That is in the cover letter that's been provided to the committee. I believe that's also made public, the decision and the recommendation by the Inspector General that, in fact, the allegation was credible.
Can we also agree that it was urgent that if the President of the United States was withholding military aid to an ally, even as you received the complaint, and was doing so for a nefarious reason, that is to exercise leverage over the President of Ukraine to dig up manufactured dirt on his opponent. Can we agree that it was urgent while that aid was being withheld?
There are two things.
I'm talking about the common understanding of what urgent means, because Inspector General said this was urgent, not only in the statutory meaning, this was urgent as everyone understands that term. Can we agree that it was urgent?
It was urgent and important. But my job as the Director of National Intelligence was to comply with the Whistleblower Protection Act and adhere to the definition of urgent concern, which is a legal term.
Yes, and one that does not apply to the president. That, again, it doesn't come up in the exchange, and you'd never know that from Adam Schiff, who's trying to make the Director of National Intelligence sound like the bad guy. And again, this is, I think, is deeply, deeply relevant here. As much as Republicans are struggling to try to claim that there is some elaborate conspiracy between Joe Biden and Ukraine, the Democrats are trying to claim there's an elaborate conspiracy with the Director of National Intelligence and others, who, by the way, he's not in that position except Dan Coats retired.
And to adhere to the meaning of the term shall.
And to adhere to the meaning of the term shall. Adam Schiff ends the exchange there. But again, shall does not apply to the president. But who cares when you can have your day on TV? You know, Schiff actually began his remarks by making up, fabricating part of the transcript, completely undermining his own position, and saying he had no regrets in making up the transcript as opposed to actually reading the actual transcript. That guy himself did a discredit to the entire investigation yesterday. And to see these Democrats treat this guy, a careerist in the military, like he's some sort of partisan scum, was horrific. And we know, of course, if we head down the road of impeachment, it's only going to get worse.
Want to be on the show? Call Eric now at 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
It's me. Welcome. All right. We are at some point going to have to examine the implications of Joe Biden, because I don't think Biden can stay on as the Democratic nominee. We'll get there in the third hour. I do want to move into Georgia stuff later. But right now, I want to play this clip by John Dean. John Dean was one of Nixon's hatchet men during Watergate, and he's a progressive. He, you know, people think Nixon was a conservative. He wasn't. I mean, Nixon gave us wage controls in the EPA, but listen to this John Dean stuff.
I think there is very much a cancer growing on this presidency. There's a malignancy that has spread, that is spreading. We have a president who doesn't seem to even care if this is happening. He has broken every norm that we know of that are the traditional guardrails for the presidency. He just doesn't seem to care about tradition. I don't think he has any knowledge of the presidency, Jake. He has no historical background. So he just plows ahead as if he was still in the real estate business and doing deals with people that he is not really in a position to do those kinds of deals today. He has laws he has to obey. He has a constitution he operates under. He doesn't seem to appreciate any of this or care to put himself in a circle of people who will advise him what he should and shouldn't do.
You need to understand about John Dean. So he was Nixon's White House counsel and wound up cooperating with prosecutors, wound up being fired by Nixon, had originally been a Goldwater conservative and became progressive over time, deeply critical of Republicans. He thought that the Iran-Contra situation during the Reagan years was worse than Watergate. He thought George Bush going into Iraq was worse than Watergate. Basically, any scandal of our times, John Dean has considered, no matter how minor or major, that it was worse than Watergate. And he's regularly trotted out on TV, and he says these sorts of things. He's considered an elder statesman by some, and they do that. But I wouldn't put too much stock into this. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, there's some audio that surfaced of him behind closed doors talking about the spy, and well, listen to this.
But basically, that person never saw the report, never saw the call, meaning never saw the call, heard something, and decided that he or she, whoever the hell it is, sort of like almost a spy. I want to know who's the person that gave the whistleblower, who's the person that gave the whistleblower the information, because that's close to a spy. You know what we used to do in the old days when we were smart, right? The spies and treason. We used to handle it a little differently than we do now.
Yeah. Listen, again, I got to tell you that the president has a real reason to distrust the intelligence community now. And I think this actually ends badly for all of us, that the president is unwilling to trust the intelligence community. And if we're honest here, can anybody blame him for being unwilling? Although I do have to tell you, Jeffrey Toobin is an unlikely person to play audio from on this. Jeffrey Toobin is the CNN analyst, very much of the left, does not like conservatives, deeply hostile to the president. And he watched all the proceedings in the House yesterday, particularly with the director of national intelligence testify, and listened to his conclusion.
There was sort of an air of unreality about it because the complaint and the transcript, the partial transcript, have now been turned over. So the fight didn't really have that much juice to it.
Yeah, didn't have much juice to it. I don't know where this ultimately goes, but I think the Democrats very much want impeachment. CNBC actually has a story out that the longer this drags out, the more sympathy builds for the president. Republicans know it. The Republicans have an interest in dragging this out to help the president. And there's some truth to that. I absolutely think there's truth to that. We'll see where it winds up. When we come back, though, the Georgia angle on all this, where does everybody in Georgia line up? I'll give you that. We're going to move over to Facebook Live as well from Twitter and YouTube.